Sure, good being with you this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have a lot to cover this morning, so I would encourage you to turn with me now and begin our study as we go to the book of John. So open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8. And in just a second, I will be reading from the New King James, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. There we have recorded, as the New King James states, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, saying, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Now, in that section of Scripture, we're going to go back to two specific verses, and that's in verses 31 and 32. In 31 and 32, again, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you want to put a title on my lesson this morning, I've titled it Freedom. The truth shall make you free. Now, as we look at that text, verses 31 and 32, let's begin by understanding the source of truth. If it's the truth that will make us free, we best be careful we're following the correct source of truth. Before we talk about the correct source of truth, however, let me share with you some things which are not the source of truth, and yet today people have embraced that. For instance, truth is not determined by feelings. Think about this. You ever hear people say, "I feel this is right"? Well, you might feel something is right, but that might not necessarily be the truth. Is that not so? So when we talk about the truth shall make you free, it's not the truth based upon how you feel. Let's go to the Old Testament and Proverbs 28, and Proverbs 28 and verse 26. A warning about focusing or fully trusting our feelings. And Proverbs 28 and verse 26, there it teaches us, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." So a warning given to us, if we trust in our heart, in other words, if I think I've got the truth because I feel I've got the truth, or my truth might be different than your truth, well, again, that's not in the Scriptures. And God warns about our feelings being the source of truth, because feelings are not the source of truth. Now, I'm not going to go into plenty of illustration, but let me ask you this. Have you ever thought something to be true when it was false? And I think most of us at some time in our life have done things like that. That's why we can't allow our feelings become the source of our truth. Sometimes people say, "Well, I feel they must be saved because look at how many people are going there." Well, again, you're basing it on feelings. You're not basing it on the source of truth. We have to be careful of that. Again, when we talk about the truth shall make you free, we need to understand it's not determined by society's stamp of approval. In other words, just because society gives it a stamp of approval does not make it the truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. We have recorded there, we use this passage often. And when I say that, I'm not apologizing for that because it's a good passage to reflect upon on a regular basis. But in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we have, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now look at the warning in verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So when we talk about source of truth is not determined by what society necessarily approves. Because society changes, does it not? Those of us that are older, have we seen changes in our society? Truth does not change. Society changes, and in their changes, they change their concept of truth. Years ago, a society in Illinois used to say 0.10 was the period time someone was drunk. Years later, they said 0.08. And now I hear they're talking about it even getting lower. So again, you see how society vacillates. When we talk about truth, we're talking something that is absolute. And again, it's not determined by society. Remember, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Not the truth of how you feel. Not the truth of what society says is okay. But of course, we all know the next one. The truth that is determined by the scriptures. In John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when Jesus says the truth will make you free, he's talking about the teachings within this book that we are studying. Let's also go to those other passages. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. We have recorded for us here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, listen, where did we hear? Heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So when we talk about the truth, when Jesus is talking about the truth in John chapter 8, would you agree with me he's talking about the truth that we now have revealed to us through his word? That's what's going to make us free. Again, let's go to one other passage in Hebrews chapter 4, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Here we have the word of God described this way. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So again, looking back to the text in John 8:31-32, the truth / God's word will make you free. That's my understanding. So when I see truth in John chapter 8, I'm thinking the truth that is revealed to us in this word. But let's talk more about this truth that Jesus talks about. Let me suggest that the truth, God's word, can be understood. You know, some people leave the impression that you can't understand the word of God. That's just your opinion. That's not true. That's not true. The truth of God's word can and should be understood. Let's look at some passages along those lines. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, New Testament, and verse 4. We have recorded for us here, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You don't have to depend on someone else to teach you what the truth is. When you read, you may understand. Is that pretty clear, is it not? So in other words, God didn't make it so difficult that it had to be someone that we put in parentheses, some scholarly person that has to explain the truth to us. Now again, not against scholarship, but don't minimize that God gave you a brain that you can understand the truth, and I can understand the truth. The truth of what? The truth of God's word. Again, as we look at another passage, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, if we're unable to understand, that would be a silly passage, would it not? Because there he tells us very specifically to understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we do that? Go back to the standard of truth, which is the gospel. So again, remember, it's the truth that's going to make you free. We're going to talk about this freedom in a little bit. But we want to establish the truth. First of all, God's word. And number two, you and I can understand it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we have recorded for us here, verses 9 and 10, this statement. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease and pray for you, and to ask you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, where do we get the knowledge of God? Through the standard of truth, do we not? So again, can we understand God's word? The answer very clearly is absolutely. However, you see, there's the simple part. However, we have this problem. In 2 Timothy, Larry addressed it in class this morning, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have this recorded for us in verses 3 and 4. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. Look at verse 4 specifically. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Now, when it says they will turn their ears away from the truth, what truth? The truth that's in here, correct? They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. We see that happening today, do we not? Even amongst many religious people, that they want to have their religion fit what society accepts today because they misunderstand society doesn't determine truth. God's word determines truth. And they don't like specifically what that word has to say, so they change various portions of the word of God to make it fit what they say, and that's the warning. So can the truth be understood? Absolutely. But again, I have to have the right disposition of heart to do so. And one other thing, not only is the truth of God's word is the source and that we can understand it, the truth must be obeyed. It must be obeyed. Again, I get so disgruntled when I turn on my TV set and in the Graham Ministries, he gets on there and tells people to pray this prayer. Now, I guarantee people, if he was sitting here, I'd tell him to his face, you are wrong. That is not what the truth teaches. Now, the sad thing about that, and I don't know this man personally, the sad thing about that, let me ask you this. How many people who know very, very little about religion will accept that as fact because he's a religious leader that is well respected? How many people will never examine for themselves what the truth of God's word actually says? That upsets me to no end, that people will be deceived, self-deceived, yes, but will be deceived by someone who is acknowledged as a very highly respectable religious leader. Understand, religious leaders may not have the truth. You've got to be careful, and that includes me. I don't expect you to accept something simply because I tell you before in this auditorium. Go home and see if it's in harmony with the word of truth. I'm not worried about that because if it is, I've got nothing to worry about. But the point is, the truth has to be obeyed. It is not something you just simply mentally accept. Let's go to some Bible examples. In John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21. We have recorded again in the book of John as it talks about Jesus here in verse 19, and this is condemnation that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. Look at verse 21. But he who does the truth, no, it doesn't say he who listens to the truth. He who does the truth comes to the light that his deed might be clearly seen, and they have been done in God. When the truth teaches something that we need to respond, we do it because it's the truth. This is what the truth wants me to do. Does that make sense? Makes sense, common sense to me. As we can talk about the truth, obedience to the truth, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I don't want you to accept this because I'm telling you this. Go home and study this out. I don't want you to accept it because the sign out says the Church of Christ. I want you to accept it because you know it to be the truth. the truth of God's word. When I go out and share with others the truth, I'm not going out to defend, no disrespect. I'm not going out there to defend the Lakeland Hills Church of Christ. I'm going to defend the truth. Now, I would hope this congregation will always stand for the truth. I believe we are, but I hope it would always stand for the truth. I don't go to defend the churches of Christ. I go to defend the doctrine of Christ, which has the truth. You see the difference there? We're not a denomination. We're the Lord's people following after the truth. And therefore, I have to allow it to work in me. There's an involvement in it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, as he talks about the Thessalonians who had obeyed, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because you received the word of God which you heard of us, you welcome not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." Where does the truth come from? The word of God, right? This is what we're talking about. "Which also effectually works in you who believe." The truth that works in you who believe. When they were told the truth, did they respond? Yeah, on those who believed. But the truth involves obedience. It's not just simply hearing what is said. It's making application of it to our lives. Again, as we talk about the obedience of the truth, let's go to 3 John. In 3 John, nothing hard to understand this. Very clear. God's word is very clear in this matter. Verses 3 and 4, John states this, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that you, just as you walk in the truth." Well, if you walk in the truth, you're walking by some standard, are you not? If you're walking in the truth, there's something you're doing about it. It's just not something that's mentally assented. It's something you're acting upon. He goes on to state in verse 4, "And I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." Well, question, how do we walk in truth? Well, we walk in truth by we walk by the standard of truth, right? As we put it together, we walk in truth as we walk according to this standard. So you have the truth must be obeyed. Now let's go, the truth shall make you free. You see, I had to define the truth. The truth is what? The truth is God's word. Now, what will it make me free of? Well, first and foremost, oh, wait, I forgot a very important point, a warning. Can't miss this warning, because we talk about walking in the truth. We can choose not to walk in the truth. We find recorded for us in 2 Thessalonians, I've never seen this passage on a bumper sticker. I guess maybe if I was to use bumper stickers, and the reason I don't, I've told you before, I'm not a good driver. Again, I've always told my wife I'm a better driver than her. She proved to me the other day I was wrong. I couldn't do something. She said, "Let me try. I'll go ahead." And I wanted her to fail just like I did, and she succeeded beautifully. That's why I don't put bumper stickers on my car. But if I did put a bumper sticker on my car, I might use this passage. And people wouldn't have any idea what I'm talking about. And maybe they'd go and study it. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it states, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Okay, if you didn't receive the love of the truth, what didn't you receive? The teachings of the scriptures, because that's where the truth comes. "They did not receive the love of the truth that they should be saved." This is the scary verse, verse 11. "And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe lie." God will allow them to believe an untruth. God will allow them to believe an untruth because they didn't receive the truth. Why is that? Verse 13, verse 12. "That they might all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." People who don't want to change their sinful ways can deceive themselves to thinking they're acceptable with God when in reality they're not. Isn't that sad? God allows them to do that. He gives all of us the truth. Depends what we want to do with the truth. But if we want to just be stubborn and do what we want to do, he'll allow us to believe a lie. May I suggest there's going to be a lot of people on the day of judgment who in their mind think they have heaven, and God's going to tell them, depart from me. God's going to tell them, depart from me. Why? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. They didn't want to give up some of their evil ways. And therefore, God wouldn't allow them to believe a lie. Now, listen to me carefully. It's not God's fault. It's the fault of the individual because they did not receive what? They did not receive the truth. Now let's go to the important point on the truth which frees us. The truth frees us from the bondage of sin. Now, that's very important to me. That's very important to you. But quite frankly, it's not very important to our society because they really don't pay attention to sin. They don't understand the serious consequences of sin. Is that not possible? I truly believe if our society understood the serious consequences of sin, this building would be full this morning. In fact, there perhaps would be people standing out the door waiting for it to open. But it's not, because people really don't understand the seriousness of sin. And that's sad, because the truth frees me from the bondage of sin. Well, I can't appreciate that unless I understand that. One of the hardest things in America is to get people to understand they're sinners. We look at foreign countries, we look at third world countries, and yeah, they need it. You know who needs it the most? We do. We do, because we've already deceived ourselves. We're A-okay and don't have the blood covering us. The truth frees me from sin. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. No wonder why the eunuch went his way rejoicing, because he was freed from the bondage of sin. And when we obeyed the gospel, we were freed from the bondage of sin. Verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls, look at how it reads. Seeing you have purified your souls and what? In obeying the truth. What is the truth? God's word. Goes on to say, through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another tenderly with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Oh, by the way, here's the truth. Uncorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. How was I made free? By submitting to the truth. Because as was told at the Lord's table, that's when I come into contact with the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Should make me rejoice that I am no longer in bondage to sin. But like I say, if you don't understand that, or if you've not studied that, it's not a big deal to you. It should be a big deal to you. It should be a big deal to me. But we're in a society where it's not a big deal. Let me give you something we all understand. We all understand the devastating results of cancer, don't we? Because probably most every one of us in this room has had someone, or maybe you yourself are dealing with it, with cancer. And we all understand the horrible effects of cancer. You don't ever see people making fun of cancer, do you? But you see people making fun of sin? When I see people making fun of sin, you know what that tells me? They don't understand how serious sin is. Because if you understood the seriousness of sin, you wouldn't make fun of it. Back years ago, Red Skeleton, boy, am I aging myself. 90% of you don't even know who Red Skeleton is. Red Skeleton used to do a skit of a drunkard, and everybody laugh about it. There's nothing funny about a drunkard. Just in the news the other day, a young lady who was 27 years old was buried because a man who was driving a semi was drunk, and he hit her head on. Anything to laugh about there, people? No. Why? Because it's sin. It's sin. There's nothing to laugh about sin. But we don't even pay attention to sin. And thank be to God, we can get an escape from sin by obeying the truth. Let's go to another passage. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The truth shall make you free. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. Now, see, here's the problem. We don't recognize as a society we're slaves of sin. We pat ourselves on the back. We're pretty good people. But if you have sin, you're what? You're a slave of sin. You were slaves of sin, it goes on to state. Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Is that what your Bible says? Yeah. So again, the truth will free me from the bondage of sin. How wonderful is that? But see, it's only wonderful if you understand how serious sin is. But if you don't understand how serious sin is, you don't even pay attention to it. Isn't that sad? The most serious thing we have to deal with in society is sin, because it separates us from God. And God gives us his son so that we can be reconciled to him, and yet we don't pay attention to that. And we go through our life being in bondage to sin. We're kind of like, and I'll date myself again, we're kind of like Mr. Magoo. All the chaos goes on around us, and we don't understand that we're part of the chaos. How sad that is. But let's go on. Romans 6, 22 and 23. But having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end, everlasting life. In other words, when you came out of sin, you become slaves of God to fruits of righteousness, which leads to eternal life. Look at the next verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. Truth of God's word sets me free from sin when I come into contact with the blood of Christ and maintain that contact. Truth frees me from religious error, because there's a lot of religious error, including some churches of Christ. Brethren, don't think just because the sign says Church of Christ meets here that it necessarily has the truth, because it may not. We're deceived if we think that. That's why you've got a brain. You make sure it's in harmony with God's will, whether it be here or wherever you go. As we look at that passage, let's look at some verses. Remember Acts chapter 17? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans. We have recorded for us here in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, this simple statement. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. When it talks about those in Thessalonica, it's talking to the unbelieving Jews. It's not talking about everybody in Thessalonica, because they had success in Thessalonica, but it's talking about the unbelieving Jews. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Examine what I say. Go home. If you need a copy of this lesson, I'll give it to you. I'll be happy to give it to you. Go research it. And then don't accept it because I said it in the podium here. You accept it because it's the truth. It's the truth. Don't worry about me. Worry about what I'm teaching. Is it the truth? The truth sets us free from religious error. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll never forget when I first became a Christian, we happened to have Connie Adams for one of our meetings. Now, being a new convert in Christianity, I didn't know who Connie Adams was. You know, brethren were all impressed with him, but I just thought he was another preacher. So I wasn't enamored that he was in the podium. I was enamored with his lessons, but I was not enamored because this is Connie Adams. In fact, I thought it was kind of a funny name, Connie. But again, it's going to Connie Mack, the baseball, but nevertheless. So being a babe in Christ, and we had Connie in our home, and I said, Connie, how do I go about making sure that all this religious error is exposed? Because there's even more religious error today than there was back in 1975. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, don't worry about learning the error. Learn the truth. Because if you know the truth, you'll spot the error. That you don't have enough, and he didn't do this, I'm adding this, you don't have enough time in your life to know about all the religious error that is out there. But you got one standard of truth, You learn that like the back of your hand, and you'll spot religious error. You'll say, wait now, that's not in harmony with. And you go back and say, "That you know, that's good common sense, is it not? Because how much religious error is out there? There's a whole bunch of religious error out there. That's why in 2 Timothy 2:15 it tells us, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing. What's focus here? The word of truth. Make sure you know the truth. And that's helped me over the years. Because something comes up and, you know, you hear that and say, that doesn't sound just right. You ever had that time where you heard something? That doesn't sound just right. You don't know where to pinpoint it, but that something's not right here. And then you go back and lo and behold, as you study, aha, now I know why it's not right. Because it's contrary to this. It's contrary to this section of scriptures. That's why it's important. You don't have enough time, and may I suggest you're not smart enough, and neither am I, to know all the religious error that's out there. But we are smart enough to know the truth. Because how many standards of truth do we have? One. One standard of truth. So the truth makes us free from religious error. Because when someone says something that's not in harmony of the truth, you can show them book, chapter, and verse. For instance, there was a number of us many years ago trying to start a congregation in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And we came across a person who was very religious, and we got to talking about the plan of salvation. And we showed them Acts chapter 2. And she informed me, no, the Holy Spirit told me. And I said, well, then the Holy Spirit's contradicting himself. Because the Holy Spirit told me through the truth, you had to repent and be baptized. I'd like to tell you, she was amazed and was converted, but that wasn't the case. But I knew the truth. I knew what the truth had to say about that. The truth teaches us what is wrong and what is right. And you can have, do I know the truth? I'm not trying to be arrogant. Yeah, because it's right here and I can understand it. It's as simple as that. Again, we have 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, very simple passage. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love. So let me ask you this. Is there a pattern? Well, it must be. Hold fast the pattern. Where's the pattern? Well, it's in here. Once you know the pattern, you follow it. Hold fast the pattern. So again, the truth, most importantly, gives me the freedom of sin, from sin. But it gives me the freedom from religious error. However, there's another problem. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Because, you know, false teachers, they're very deceptive. They're very good speakers. I'll tell you, sometimes as I listen to Moody Bible in my car, I'll learn some passages that I'll develop into lessons, but there's false teaching there too. But they're very deceptive in how they go about it. And that's why you have to know the truth. By the way, I'm not telling you what you can listen to. That's totally up to you. I'm just saying you have to be careful. And we have recorded for us in verse 6 and 7, let no one deceive you with empty words. And you see, false doctrine is what? False doctrine is empty words. It's empty words because it's not the truth. Goes on to state, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the... So notice, false teaching, where the wrath of God is going to come on false teachers and those who follow that. That's a whole sermon right there in verse 6. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. In other words, don't get caught up with their deception. Oh, it sounds good. It always amazes me as I listen to that radio station. They'll give 4 or 5 good points, but then when they give the invitation call, they forget about baptism. They accept Jesus. Oh, and down the road, get baptized. That's not what this, you know, that's not what Peter said. He said, accept Jesus and down the road, go get baptized somewhere. It doesn't teach that. However, how many people, because it's a religious broadcasting station, will accept whatever is being said, hook, line, and sinker, because it's religious programming? You see the problem? Brethren, invite your friends and neighbors to think for themselves. I'm not saying you can't listen to that, but think for yourself. Make sure what's being said is in harmony with the truth, because the truth frees me from religious error. Think for yourself. I don't want to do your thinking for you. Examine what I say to make sure it's according to the truth. And how important is that? It's very important. Because if you're not following the truth, that means you're following error. And you've been deceived. And then finally, and the lesson will be yours, the truth frees me from the bondage of death. Frees me from the bondage of death. The older we get, the closer we get to death. It's as simple as that. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but generally speaking, now I realize people die at all ages. Like that family of the 27-year-old, that just sticks out in my mind. That's such a sad, sad situation. 27 is just, you're like a baby, 27. And she's gone. But there's many of us in this audience that have gone somewhat beyond 27 and beyond 37, beyond 47, beyond 57, beyond, I'm talking about myself, beyond 67. Aye, aye, aye. I'm glad I get to stop there. But even some of us beyond 77. And that's fine that you get to live that long life. But death's knocking at the door, people. But I don't have to be fearful of death. There's a lot of uncertainties about death. But I don't have to be fearful of death, because the truth sets me free from death. How wonderful is that? Now, like I've told you before, I don't want to sound like a broken record. The only apprehension I have is how I might die. I wish God would send me a little form and give me choices. Because here's one choice I don't want to die when I'm going to visit my son and the lake is surrounded on both sides. I don't want to die in my car drowning. That's not how I want to die. I don't want to die in a fire. That's why I complain to my wife every time she lights one of those dumb candles up. And I can give you a list of other things on how I don't want to die. But I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know that. I know it's coming. But that's all right. Because after it's done, I win. I win. And so do you, if you're in Christ. The truth frees me from the bondage of death. How wonderful is that? Because we all face it. You can pretend it's not going to come, but let me tell you, it's coming. Only one of two things are going to happen. You're going to be here till Christ comes back, because none of us know when that time's going to come. Or you're going to die. That's the only two options you have. There is no option number three. Therefore, what should you be doing with the truth? You should be obeying it, following it. And if you're doing that, then there's no fear of death. Let's go to some passages and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Listen to what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 2. And trust me, there are a lot of people who are in bondage to the subject of death. And boy, they want to avoid that topic as much as, let's not talk about that topic. Well, it's something we all face. Hebrews 2:14, insomuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Christ, likewise shared in the same, that through death he, Christ, might destroy him, the devil, who had power over death, that is the devil, and release those, you and I, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We're no longer subject to the bondage of death. Wow. Didn't say you're no longer going to die. That's not what the passage is saying. You're no longer subject to the bondage of death, because my Lord has given us victory over death. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Over death. Go back a few verses. He gives us victory over death. Therefore, in other words, since we get victory over death, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know why it's not in vain in the Lord? Because you get victory over death. Keep on keeping on. Because you get victory over death. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No wonder as Christians we can be happy people. No wonder that we can have that joy. Because we have the truth that teaches us how to live. Before we sing the song of invitation, I'm going to go back to two passages we've used this morning. The first one is found in 3 John 2 and 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's a beautiful statement, isn't it? That's one side of the coin. Well, the opposite side of the coin is this. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and they will all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. May I suggest to you that this very day, this very hour, this very minute, you fall in one of those two categories. Right? You're either abiding in the truth or you're not abiding in the truth. Now, if you're in the latter category, may I suggest to you, beware. Because if you're not abiding in the truth, perhaps you are deceiving yourself. Because you don't want to change. Is that a possibility? Where are you at this morning? God gives us the truth. The truth makes us free. What are we doing with it? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, will you repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what they were told to do on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. To my knowledge, from my study of the Scriptures, nothing has changed. It's still the same. And then walk faithfully. If you're here this morning, you might be a very good person. You might have even been better than those who sometimes call themselves Christians, but yet you haven't obeyed the truth. You can't get to heaven by your own goodness. I can't get to heaven by my own goodness. I get to heaven by the blood of Christ. That requires me to repent, be baptized, and be faithful. Repent, be baptized, and be faithful. Not be faithful to Chuck. Not be faithful to Lakeland Hills, but be faithful to the truth of God's word. Are you doing that? As we stand and as we sing.